Blog Talk Radio.
Shut up,
Blog
Talk Radio. Pretty much till they kick me out the booth, and we pretty much amazing.
What's up? And welcome in. You're listening to Chi-Town Chatter with Matt Peck on Blog Talk Radio. Happy to have you with me tonight. You can also follow me on Twitter at MMP underscore DA. That's MMP underscore DAAA. Chi-Town Chatter is brought to you by Binny's Beverage Depot. Remember, if you can't find it at Binny's, it's probably not worth drinking. The Bulls and Blackhawks have continued their road trips with similarly muddling results. We're going to talk about that tonight. Tonight, I'll welcome in host and executive producer over at 670 The Score here in Chicago, Joe Ostrowski. We'll offer up his take on the Bears offseason rumor mill and our ailing Bulls. I'll also have open phone lines for you later in the show. Call in 347-327-9183. So, the dust has settled following a thrilling Super Bowl 49 that saw the Seattle Seahawks snatch defeat from the jaws of victory with what many have called the worst play in Super Bowl history.
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Great googly moogly.
Ooh, wow. Hate to be a Seahawks fan this week. So, here in Chicago, we shift our focus back to the Bears.
The Bears.
Lots of talk swirling around Chicago this week concerning two key members of the Chicago Bears and their futures with the organization.
That's unacceptable. That's unacceptable. Unacceptable.
You know, Brandon's Brandon. You know, Brandon's Brandon. You know, Brandon's Brandon.
Okay, I actually only doctored one of those sound bites. So there's a lot of talk going on about Brandon Marshall and Jay Cutler here in Chicago. Some people are saying get rid of them both. Some people are saying keep Jay Cutler, get rid of Brandon Marshall. Some people are saying keep Marshall, get rid of Cutler. Some people, like myself, think that that's all ridiculous. And when you look at the situation the Bears are in, the thing that makes sense is for the Bears to keep both of them. When you look about it, contractually, on March 12th of this calendar year, if Jay Cutler's on the roster, $10 million worth of his 2016 salary becomes guaranteed. Marshall, meanwhile, signed a $30 million contract extension last spring, $22.3 million of which is guaranteed. Basically, whatever way you look at it, if the Bears try to get rid of or move either of these guys, the Bears are going to lose a lot of money. And then you think about who else is out there. When you look at the quarterback position, yeah, Jay has his faults. We know about them all too well here in Chicago. He still has one of the strongest arms of any QB in the league. And who else would the Bears have as our starting QB next season? Who's out there? Brian Hoyer, who was benched in favor of Johnny Manziel, who's now in rehab? I don't think so. Mark Sanchez? Pass. Spending a middling draft pick in the upcoming draft for a quarterback, and we don't know anything about what they'll be able to do as far as producing at the NFL level? Pass. Jay Cutler, at least for 2015, makes the most sense. And when you talk about Brandon Marshall, he has some off-the-field issues. I think he has some focus issues. And some people are saying, he's old, he's getting older, he's washed up, he had a lot of nagging injuries last season. And while that may be true, and he's not as quick as he once was because he's getting older, he's still a huge red zone target for the Bears, one of the most dangerous red zone targets in the league, I believe. I mean, talk about that amazing game he had against the Niners early in last season before everything went down the toilet. Brandon Marshall can still go up and bring down footballs for the Bears. Another reason I think that the Bears should hold on to both of these guys, Cutler and Brandon, is that think about our new head coach, John Fox. I think he can fix some of the things that's wrong with these two guys. If John Fox does what he said he was going to do in his opening press conference and run the ball, that takes some of the pressure off Jay Cutler right there. And while most people think that Cutler had a horrible season because the Bears did so poorly, when you look back at his stats, it actually wasn't that bad. Last season, Cutler had the highest completion percentage of his career, completing 66% of his passes. He also had a career-high 3,800-plus passing yards. Back in 2013, when, remember, the Bears had the second-highest ranked in the NFL, Jay Cutler was only sacked 19 times, his lowest sack total since joining the Bears in 2009. 2014, that sack count was back up to 38, double. And, of course, Jay Cutler, we watched him throw 18 interceptions and lose 6 fumbles. But of those 18 picks and 6 fumbles, how many of those were a result of quarterback pressure, which in turn is a result of a bad offensive line? 2014, we saw a lot of moving pieces on that offensive line. We lost some guys to injuries. People were shuffling around. In 2013, the O-line, part of it was young, Kyle Long, Jordan Mills, but they were consistently starting together. 2014, everything got shuffled around. The O-line was poor, and we all know that when Jay is pressured in that pocket, when his pocket breaks down, he makes bad choices. So if the Bears can manage to shore up that offensive line in the draft or any other way, and if John Fox and Adam Gase actually stick to the game plan of running the football, I think we could see significant improvement from Jay Cutler in 2015. Then you talk about Brandon Marshall's biggest issue, and I don't think it's on the field. I think it's off the field. Obviously, everybody knows he's a big advocate for mental health. He made an appeal on The View contract extension, donating $1 million of his new contract to the mental health, which is wonderful. Then you also have him doing his broadcasting before his playing career is even over. Brandon was regularly appearing on NFL Network once a week during the entire football season last year. How could you be focused on playing football and getting ready for your opponent if you're going and doing a show with the guys from NFL Network? Brandon, I understand if you want to have a broadcasting career after your playing days are over. A lot of people do, and it's a good way to plan for your future. Wait until your playing days are over, man. Your primary focus should be working your tail off every Bears practice and preparing yourself for every game next season. And I think that John Fox can help there. Mark Trestman was an inexperienced head coach, and we all heard towards the end of the season just how bad the Bears locker room got. If John Fox comes in and puts his foot down, keeps Brandon Marshall and Jay Cutler, for that matter, on a shorter leash, and makes them focused on football and only football every day, we might see some improvements.
You're in need of a serious attitude adjustment, young man. You better get your priorities straight.
With the talent that Jay and Brandon have, the contractual situations that the Bears are in, and the lack of better options out there, it makes no sense to me to get rid of them. They both need strong leadership and a from the head coaching position, and I, for one, am optimistic that John Fox will provide exactly that. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll welcome in Joe Ostrowski, host and executive producer over at 670 The Score. I'll get his thoughts on the Bears rumor mill and the Bulls' continuing slide after falling to the Houston Rockets last night. You're listening to Chi-Town Chatter with Matt Peck on Blog Radio. Stick around.
I'll be right back. Don't you go dying on me!
I love you.
Oh, that's so nice. Really?
I made these for you. They're just brownies.
Could I have one?
Go ahead.
No.
What? You don't like brownies?
No.
I'm sorry, I can't understand you.
No.
Mick?
No.
You're seeing someone else.
No.
A guy named Mick.
No.
I can't believe it.
Oh,
hey, my name is Scott.
No.
Hey, Scott, look, I gotta go. I hope Mick likes brownies.
Got milk. Brought to you by America's Dairy Farmers.
Nothing's funny about gout flares, though they can make you walk funny or sport that hilarious open-toed sneaker of yours. Those are serious attempts to live with gout flares. But why live with them? Visit gout.com and find better ways to fight flares over time.
Welcome back into Chi-Town Chatter with Matt Peck on Blog Talk Radio. Getting a little trouble getting Joe on the line, so for now I'm going to go to a caller. You're on the air live with Blog Talk Radio. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Well, this is Charlie Pibman. I'm calling from Glen Ellyn, Illinois.
Hey, Charlie. What's going on?
How you doing, man? You know, I thought that your comments about the Bears were right on track with what I've been reading and thinking. But I just wanted to kind of change up. You're talking about Brandon Marshall and kind of promoting his career by doing that sports TV show. And I was just curious how you felt in general about Marshawn Lynch and his unwillingness to participate in press conferences and talk much about his game at all. There's basically two sides to the argument. One, that my youngest son assertively articulates frequently, and that is that his game speaks for itself. And then, of course, the converse view is that he has an obligation to support the league that supports his livelihood. And I was just interested, do you have any comments or any perceptions on that?
Well, thanks for the call, Charlie. Appreciate it. Marshawn Lynch, man, it's interesting to me that during all of the media week going up to Super Bowl 49, the thing that most people wanted to talk about, the thing that most people had an opinion about, was a guy that doesn't have an opinion. Marshawn Lynch repeated himself constantly, "I'm just here so I won't get fined. I'm just here so I won't get fined. I'm here. Give me a break. I'm sick of that guy." You know what? He is an incredible football player, but as his relationship with sports media, how he treats the media, and thinking about the fact that he's a role model for young kids that want to be professional athletes someday, I think that guy's a joke. And we've seen he's starting to do some commercial work, like he's doing commercials for Skittles, this, that, and the other thing. He appeared on Conan with Rob Gronkowski. The guy clearly is not afraid to talk. He doesn't have some sort of anxiety issue that prevents him from talking to the media. I think he just does it because he thinks it's funny, and he really could. You know, he couldn't give two craps about his relationship with the media. And personally, I mean, there are so many other solid characters that are cordial and courteous to the media that people can enjoy talking to and get quality sound bites from, get quality interviews from. Marshawn Lynch, he's great at running the football. I feel bad for him because if he had gotten that football, the Seahawks probably would have won the Super Bowl. But he didn't, and my sympathy only goes so far. Because I think that guy's a joke. Thanks for the call, Charlie. Now we bring in host and executive producer over at 670 The Score, Joe Ostrowski. Hey, Joe, how you doing?
Hey, Matt, what's going on?
Not much, man. Thanks for being with me tonight.
No problem
at all.
Something
interesting happened at 670 The Score not too long ago on the Mully and Hanley show. Hall of Fame quarterback Fran Tarkenton was laying into Jay Cutler. He said some really nasty things, including, and I quote, "This is a guy that teases his coaches with his powerful arm, but the bottom line is he's not a player." Now, Tarkenton's comments have sort of reignited this ongoing Cutler debate in Chicago. Joe, I'm interested, what do you see as the best move for the Bears regarding Jay Cutler's future?
You know, Fran Tarkenton does like to mix things up. Anybody that pays attention to what he has to say once in a while, I would say a couple times a year, you see Fran Tarkenton making headlines across the nation, ripping some other quarterback because that quarterback in his mind is not as great as he was as a player. And at the same time, I take a look at what he said, and after listening to the interview, yeah, I can't really disagree with anything that Tarkenton had to say there. Here's the issue. Phil Emery, and we always make quick comments from time to time about these NFL contracts, how they don't really mean anything. It's only about the guaranteed money. You can cut guys whatever you want. This Jay Cutler contract does not fall into that category at all. I just don't see the Bears willing to pay $38 million for Jay Cutler to go away right now and never play another down for this team when they don't have an answer coming in.
Right. When there's no clear alternative, that's a lot of money to tell somebody who does have one of the strongest arms in the NFL to just take a hike.
I just don't see it happening. I think there's a possibility of guys like Brandon Marshall and certainly everybody else. You look at this team up and down. They're going to go over the roster. They're breaking down all the tape as we speak. I think everybody's up for debate. I don't really see it as a debate with Jay Cutler. But you don't really have to read between the lines too much, Matt. Every time John Fox has spoken, same deal for the new general manager, Ryan Pace. You don't have to. It doesn't take much to figure out that what they want in a quarterback is not Jay Cutler. Now, the roster turnover, including going from a 4-3 to a 3-4 on defense with defensive coordinator Vic Fangio, the roster turnover, it's not going to take one season. It's going to take at least a few years. I see Jay Cutler here at least one more season. And if he is, it doesn't mean the McCaskies are cheap. They just approved a really dumb decision by the previous GM.
Right. And you brought up Brandon Marshall's name. I'm curious, you know, his name's all been thrown around a lot in Chicago the past couple of weeks. Do you want to see the Bears keep Brandon, and do you foresee him being in a Bears uniform in 2015 and beyond?
Man, that is difficult. Our station has been reporting, Terry Bors and Dan Bernstein, the afternoon guys, have been reporting that as far as management goes, they don't want Brandon Marshall there. Now, does it mean Brandon Marshall is going to be gone? No, it doesn't mean that, because they gave all the power to the GM. Ryan Pace has final say. He's going to be working close with John Fox. And a lot of people, it's all on Ryan Pace. It's all on Ryan Pace. John Fox doesn't have any say. John Fox has say. You're not going to start off this relationship by fighting about players in year one like Brandon Marshall. So what I think is going to happen, man, that would be you'd be asking me to predict what Ryan Pace's opinion of Brandon Marshall is, and I really don't have anything to go on. I just know that Bears management doesn't want him here anymore, and I know they don't want to deal with him. Now, there have been a lot of Bears fans I've been hearing on my shows from Bears fans that are very concerned. If Brandon Marshall is gone, what are they going to do now? Why would they get rid of a productive player like that? Well, that productive player is on the wrong side of 30. That productive player has had 3 hip surgeries. At this point in his career, the production is only going to go down, and the worst part of it is he's a major distraction in the locker room and off the field or whatever. And now you take a look at it, Matt, the conversation of wide receivers has really changed as far as drafting guys lately, because a couple of years ago, it would take 3 years. And the other night on my show, I was talking about this. Look at the rookie wide receivers that came in 2014 and the production immediately from college to the pro level. Mike Evans, Odell Beckham, Brandon Cooks, Kelvin Benjamin, Sammy Watkins. Go up and down. I can count a dozen guys. Davante Adams up in Green Bay. A dozen guys that helped their teams right away, and they're going to have them cheap for a few seasons. And you can save $4 million by getting rid of Brandon Marshall right now.
Yeah, there's certainly an abundance of young wide receiver talent out there. I mean, I picked Mike Evans up off the waiver wires in my fantasy league last season, and it was the best move I made. Joe Ostrowski.
Looking at all the receivers out there, I mean, you can make an argument, because look at the quarterback he had, and he only had a half a season once he was finally healthy. I mean, how many guys would you take over Odell Beckham right now in the league?
Right, not many. Not many. That kid's incredible. Talking with Joe Ostrowski of 670 The Score here in Chicago, you brought up John Fox. Now, regardless of whether or not Brandon Marshall is in uniform, do you have faith in him and Adam Gase? Do you have faith in their ability to turn things around? Because the Bears' offense in 2013 was actually pretty solid. Took a huge step back in 2014. What are your thoughts on what the Bears' offense is going to look like next season?
Yeah, I do have faith in those guys, no matter who it is. And we know these draft picks coming up, these very high draft picks. Ryan Pace is going to mostly use these on defense because he has to use them on defense. The past 2 seasons, the worst Bears defenses in Bears history, number 1 and number 2 worst defenses an organization that's been around since 1920 has ever had, and they're switching schemes completely, and they need to find players that can fit that scheme. So, yeah, a lot of the additions are going to be on the defensive side, but we can talk about it all the time. There's still talent there. They didn't lose all the talent in one season. Last year at this time, everybody was so excited that Mark Trestman was here, and they're going to be even better with the second year in the offense, and everything went completely the other way. Yeah, I do have faith in those guys. I certainly do. And you look at John Fox's history. He goes to Carolina. He takes over a 1-15 team, and his second year there, he's in the Super Bowl. In Denver, it was a quick turnaround as well. There was a reason Mike Shanahan was fired. In his third year there, they went to the Super Bowl. And, of course, a big part of that was Peyton Manning choosing the Broncos, but they also went to the playoffs and won a game with Tim Tebow. So, yeah, I have a lot of faith.
A lot of people forget that. And John Fox was able to turn around both that Carolina Panthers and the Denver Broncos defenses. So I'm glad I'm not the only one who has faith in John Fox's ability to turn this franchise around on both sides of the football. Joe, let's switch gears now and talk about the Bulls, who lost the Houston Rockets last night 101-90, which would be the Bulls' first three-game losing streak of the season. Joe, some people in Chicago, I'm not saying I'm one of them, but some people in Chicago are hitting the panic button, and they're hitting it hard right now. The Bulls appear lifeless in games. They appear completely lost on defense. Who or what would you suggest is the biggest concern for this Bulls team right now?
Matt, I'm trying really hard not to push the panic button, but you watched this team last night.
It's so tempting to push the panic button right now.
Oh, my goodness. It's so hard not to. It's really difficult, and you watch the team last night, and we always pound Tom Thibodeau for the minutes. He's killing the players. What was the last game they played? Was it last Friday against Phoenix? Something like that?
Yeah, they had four nights off.
Okay, so 5 days in between games. You're all rested up. It was basically like an all-star break, and they come out like that. Hey, there are so many issues, and this always pops up, the rift between Tibbs and front office. You know, yeah, that happens when they start losing some games. I'm taking a look at the front office. How come you didn't have another three on this entire roster outside of Mike Dunleavy? Because that leads
to
so
many. It seems
like
a glaring mistake, doesn't it?
Oh my God, yeah. And now you have to throw out three guards out there. It's just a complete mess. Kirk Heinrich's he's out there way too much. It's just a complete disaster. And Joakim Noah and Pau Gasol can't play well together. You even seen them last night. They're looking at each other. They don't know what each other's supposed to be doing. Pau can't stop anybody. Rose can't stop anybody. Doesn't look like he's trying to stop anybody. My God, it's such a difference. What happened to Taj Gibson, by the way? Who is this guy that's wearing his number?
Yeah, it's, Taj was usually he provides some solid minutes off the bench. But I think last night his plus minus was like minus 14. The entire Bulls bench, Taj was minus. Nico, minus 17, Brooks, minus 12, Etuan Moore had some minutes, he was minus 10. The Bulls bench, which has always been one of its greatest assets, and the Bulls supposedly were supposed to be one of the deepest teams in the league this season. Bulls bench had a horrible game last night. Taj, you're right, hasn't looked like himself. But I'm sorry, Joe, I have to ask, you brought up Pau. He was looking like Carlos Boozer out there last night. I swear to God, I could have sworn that was Carlos Boozer trying to pick up James Harden on every time he was driving down the lane. And you were talking about Tibbs' minutes, and I'm sure if Coach Thibodeau hears this question one more time, he's going to burst a blood vessel. But I can't deny the fact that Pau Gasol has looked tired, even though they had four nights off. He's looked tired in the last couple of weeks. Now, if you were Coach Tibbs, would you consider going the Greg Popovich route and giving Pau Gasol at age 34 a night off every once in a while?
I thought you were going to ask me if I'd consider benching Pau Gasol and having come off the bench and Noah as your starting five. Yeah, of course. I would be down for that 100%. There's no question about it. But, yeah, but you just made the point. How much is it going to help this team? You have this team with full rest, and I didn't expect Jimmy Butler to completely lock down James Harden. Not many people are going to do that. But last night, man, I'm just watching James Harden. Like, man, I remember when Derrick Rose used to attack the basket like that. What is he doing settling for these long twos? And it's, you know, right away from night to night. It's going to be a long two, or Derrick Rose is going to take all threes. It's been only a few times this year where he's attacked the basket, like the old Derrick Rose, and he was unbelievable. I don't know why he's trying to change his game or who told him to do this.
Yeah, you see those flashes. He had a couple of them last night. He had a couple of them against Lakers and the Suns in recent games where he'll have a nasty vintage D-Rose crossover. He'll get down to the hoop. He'll make a nice reverse layup off the glass or something. But he's just not attacking the basket as much as people want him to see. Last night, 9 for 22. Like you said, mostly jumpers. I think it was 2 for 9 from beyond the arc. Way too many three-pointers for Derrick Rose to be taking.
Yeah, and
well,
shot
Joe,
was falling.
I'll get you out of here on this.
Yeah, and his shot was falling last night.
His mid-range jumper last night was falling, but his three is 2 for 9. That's unacceptable.
And Noah, on these stretch fours, you're completely able to take away what he does so well, and that's be a rim protector under the basket, and he's being pulled out near the three-point line. It's just killing this team.
Yeah. Joe was 0 for 8 last night, 1 point, did pull down 19 rebounds, looking like Dennis Rodman out there.
I know.
Joe, I'll get you out of here on this. The Bulls have now fallen into a tie with the Cleveland Cavs. Both teams are 30 and 20. Cavs own the tiebreaker. Winners of 11 straight. Wizards, meanwhile, have dropped 4 in a row, slightly falling back to earth. And then Atlanta, still surging 41-9, though their 19-game winning streak was snapped. Looking at the East, how far do you see this Bulls team going, and who, if not the Bulls, is coming out of the East this season?
Well, you started with Cleveland there, Matt, and there's no doubt in my mind that they're going to be the 2 seed. There's just no question. You can make the argument right now, and I know what Atlanta's done, but after they made that trade for Mozgov and some of the other help that they got, including J.R. Swish, some of the help that they've got, they could be the best team in the NBA right now. And the conversation has changed going at the start of the year, how weak the Eastern Conference is. And now you look at the very top of the Eastern Conference, and you have two of the best teams in the NBA. The Bulls, they're going to hang around this 4 or 5 spot. And the question is, who are they going to play? If Washington falls,
right,
which is very possible when Cleveland does move up, Washington falls to the 4-5 matchup with the Bulls, that's a lot of trouble. That is a ton of matchup issues on the front line. I mean, that could be a one and done. I mean, we might be talking about the end of the Tom Thibodeau era here.
We saw what happened when we got that. We all thought it was a favorable matchup when we got Washington last season. And true, we were without Derrick Rose and a slightly different team, but we all saw how that worked out.
And how much better is John Wall this year?
Wow. Yeah. I mean, not only Wall, but Bradley Beal. Their court is improving. They still have one of the best front courts in Nene and Gortat. Some solid role players off the bench. And you know what? When they brought in Paul Pierce, I thought Paul Pierce was done in Brooklyn. I really did. I thought maybe some veteran leadership, but he's still giving them some solid minutes. I can't believe it. He is one of those players that is just sort of telling Father Time to go F himself.
He had 10 points in the first quarter tonight at Charlotte already. I was just taking a look at the box score before I jumped on with you. The Wizards are up in the second quarter, 50-44. Like, yeah, it's been unbelievable. Yes, totally agree with what you said there, Matt. I'm not liking their chances here. I'm really concerned, and it looks like we're just staring at a matchup in the first round with Washington, which would be awful. Maybe Toronto continues to free fall. Because they've been. The funny thing is, Toronto was so much better when DeRozan was out.
And certainly, James Harden, speaking of people being out and it helping their teams, was getting into the paint. No Dwight Howard certainly didn't seem to bother the Houston Rockets last night.
Oh, my goodness. It was 50 to 28
points in the paint for Houston.
It was sick. They're starting Joey Dorsey, okay? Yeah, and the Bulls clearly out-rebounded them by a ton, and they should have, but it didn't even matter much last night at all. Yeah, it's so frustrating. And then I can't wait to see what they do against Anthony Davis this weekend. Great.
Oh, geez. A quadruple-double for Anthony Davis?
I mean, yeah. If Tyreek starts getting off, what is wrong with them? As of right now, the Pelicans wouldn't even make the playoffs in the Western Conference. I know it tells us how strong the West is, but geez, right now the Pelicans and the Thunder would be out of the playoff picture.
It's crazy. And meanwhile, the Pelicans were the ones who finally managed to beat that streaking Atlanta Hawks team. I feel like everything is upside down in the NBA this season. It's absolutely maddening.
Yes, it's a complete mess. Well, you have 10 teams that are really, really good over in the West, and then it's crap the rest of the way. And then you take a look at the Eastern Conference, and there's two really, really good teams, and then you have that other level with Washington, Chicago, and Toronto, and then you have another level down where you're Milwaukee, who's, man, they've been playing great lately, and Charlotte is there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this has been Joe Ostrowski, host and executive producer at 670 The Score. He and I are going to try our best to not push the Bulls panic button yet. You can catch Joe tomorrow night, 670 The Score, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m., and this Sunday from noon to 4 p.m. You can also follow him on Twitter at JoeO670. Joe, thanks so much for your time, man. Appreciate it.
Enjoyed myself. Hope to do it again, Matt.
All right. Take it easy, Joe. That is Joe Ostrowski, 670 The Score, having some fun talking Bulls NBA, talking Bears rumor mill. That leaves the phone lines open for you. Do you want Cutler and Marshall to stay with the Bears? What's your take on the Bulls' recent struggles? Or, for that matter, how about the Blackhawks, who just got shut out for the second game in a row? Call in. Tell me what's on your mind. 347-327-9183. We're going to take one more quick break and be right back. You're listening to Chi-Town Chatter with Matt Peck on Blog Talk Radio.
What am I to wake up suddenly and then?
25,000 mornings, give or take, is all we humans get. We spend them on treadmills, spend them in traffic. And if we get lucky, really lucky, it dawns on us to go spend them in a world where a simple sunrise can still be magic. 25,000 mornings. Make sure some of them are pure Michigan. Your trip begins at Michigan.org.
Hey, it's me, water. Did you know that if you filter me from your tap, I'm pretty much the same as I am in a plastic bottle? Except that I'm 10 times cheaper. Other than that, I'm pretty similar. Oh, and I'm fresher when I'm filtered. And I don't need an expiration date. And I don't have to get shipped halfway around the world. But other than that, we're pretty much the same. Pure Water Filter. A better source.
Welcome back in to Chi-Town Chatter with Matt Peck on Blog Talk Radio. Phone lines are open for you. 347-327-9183. You're on the air with Chi-Town Chatter. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Matt, this is Rick from Peoria, a big fan of the show. Thanks for having me. I wanted to take a moment here and talk some Bears. You were talking earlier about Jay Cutler and Brandon Marshall. I have a question. I think it would probably be beneficial for them to dump them, to keep them, regardless. I think there's a leadership problem. You know, if they dump them, they lose some veteran players. If they keep them, Jay Cutler, we all know, doesn't seem to be the world's best on-the-field leader, and Brandon Marshall's leading to some problems. And then at center, you know, their center, their Garza, seems to be getting up in age. If they do dump them or if they don't, I'm wondering what your take on who's there to sort of fill that on-the-field leadership role on the offensive side of the ball for the Bears.
Well, that's a good question, Rick. Leadership on the offensive side of the ball has been an issue for a while. And now that you bring it up, now who's going to be the leader on the defensive side of the ball? We've heard rumors that Lance Briggs may be coming back to play one more season. Peanut Tillman is done. And, you know, Brian Urlacher has been gone for a while. There doesn't seem to be much leadership on either side of the ball for this Bears team last season. I think that was one of the biggest reasons that they struggled. You talk about Jay Cutler as a quarterback and you talk about him as a leader. Seems like most people around the league, players, sports media, they say Jay Cutler's got a hell of an arm. He's got some tendency to make mistakes with the ball, but you want the quarterback of your football team to be your vocal leader. That's just not Jay. Jay is not a leader on the football field. And, you know, you can only fault him for that so much. Some people aren't born natural leaders. Usually you would like to think that a quarterback playing in the National Football League, some of the highest paid and most well-known people on planet Earth, have some of those characteristics that go into being a leader of men. Unfortunately, Jay Cutler isn't one of them. So to your question, Rick, as far as who can the Bears look to provide leadership on the offensive side of the ball, particularly next season, my answer would be this. John Fox. John Fox, the head coach. Adam Gase, the offensive coordinator. And when it comes down to player personnel, Matt Forte. Matt Forte is one of the few players that never gave up during the atrociousness that was last season for the Bears. He was solid in the ground game when he got the ball. He had 100-plus receptions, which was a career mark for him. And whenever he talks to the media, he seems like a very down-to-earth, very nice guy, very easy to talk to. So why can't Matt Forte just step up a little bit and be like, you know what, Jay Cutler doesn't want to lead, that's fine. I will be the leader of this offense. Those are my thoughts anyway. Thanks for the call, Rick. Let's go to another caller. You're on the air with Chi-Town Chatter. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Dave in Brooklyn.
Hey, Dave, all the way out in Brooklyn. What's on your mind, buddy?
I wanted to switch gears and talk a little bit more about the Bulls.
Sure.
We've seen Jimmy Butler trying to take sort of the lapse in defense on himself.
Oh, yeah. There was an article that came out a few days ago where he was basically saying, put the bad defense on me. That's my fault.
Yeah, but I think that we all kind of know that that's not true. You were exactly right that Powell looked like loser. You know, who would contribute on defense mostly by watching other people play defense and then yelling, board it, Joe! And, you know, how is the problem on defense? What do you think?
Yeah. I can't disagree with you there. You know, when I read that article where Jimmy Butler was saying, hey, put the blame for the bad D on me, I was just livid. I couldn't believe it. He's doing the right thing. Jimmy Butler is learning. Speaking of leadership and the previous caller, Jimmy Butler is taking on more of a leadership role with his team. He knows, you know, start by looking at the man in the mirror. If things aren't going well, what can I do to fix it? And Jimmy Butler was on the second NBA defensive team last season, and because he's taken on more of an offensive role in this Bulls team, you know, he's up, I think, 8 or 9 points per game from his average last season. People are saying, you know, maybe he's a little bit tired, maybe he's taken a few plays off on the defensive side of the ball. Still doing his job last night against James Harden, who, along with Steph Curry, is in front running for the MVP award this season, and there's a reason why. James Harden is balling like a madman. 27 points last night. Jimmy Butler was chasing him around the court, you know, until he was about blue in the face. But when Harden is going around those picks last night and Jimmy's doing his job, whether it was Joe, whether it was Pau, or when Nico was in there, you know, whoever the big is supposed to be helping out Jimmy on those picks was just flat-footed in the paint, just letting James Harden drive right through there. Really, really hard to watch. Well, thanks for the call, Dave. I appreciate it. The watching the Bulls play defense last night was absolutely maddening. Like our last caller mentioned, it reminded me, like watching Powell play defense last night reminded me of watching Boozer play defense and Boozer's idea of defense. Dave, you're exactly right. His idea of defense is to watch the ball go off the rim and yell, grab it, Joe! And Powell's not that vocal on the court. I guess he was just telepathically telling Joakim to grab those boards last night because Joakim did pull down 19 rebounds last night. Powell had 12 himself, but at the same time, when it comes to the defensive side of the ball, and, you know, I was talking with Joe Ostrowski about this earlier in the show, maybe we give Powell a night off every once in a while. I know that idea would seem like, you know, heresy and lunacy to Coach Tibbs, who is just so gung-ho at making sure all of his players are giving 110% all the time. But, I mean, come on. The guy's 34 years old. He was balling for us in the first couple of months while Derrick Rose was battling injuries. Jimmy Butler was out a few games. Pau Gasol's 34 years old, and it's starting to show. He's still contributing on the offensive side of the ball, but when he's on defense, he's jogging back. I mean, you could barely call it jogging. He's lollygagging back on fast breaks. And when people are coming through the paint, he's just standing there flat-footed, just lets people fly right past him. Really infuriating to watch. Well, when we finally made it to the end of this Bears' hideous 2014 campaign, I thought the Bulls, and the Blackhawks for that matter, would carry us through these winter doldrums by dominating teams as they surged into spring. Instead, it appears both teams seem to be suffering from the very same winter doldrums. Hopefully, both teams will be able to turn it around before their seasons go down the drain. That's it for tonight. I want to thank Joe Ostrowski of 670 The Score for being with me tonight, and thank you for listening. Starting next week, I'll be adding a Tuesday night show to my regular Thursdays because I'm just that addicted to sports. Can't get enough, you know you're gonna have to face it, you're addicted to sports! This has been Chi-Town Chatter on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Matt Peck. Have a great weekend. Well,